And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Japan Lutheran Church, NRK, held its 16th General Convention in Tokyo. At that time, the NRK elected the Reverend Shin Shimizu to a three-year term as its president. He succeeds the Reverend Yataka Kume, who served the NRK as president from 2008 to 14. In Pentecost greetings, President Shimizu noted that the church around the world speaks in many tongues, but with one message. After Pentecost, other tongues have been given to the churches by the Holy Spirit, he writes. Nevertheless, all of us look in the same direction for glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, President Shimizu sent his greetings to Lutherans around the world, asking for cooperation and good relationship in Jesus Christ as he begins his service to the NRK. In Asia and also in some other areas of the world, we see many serious political problems, he noted. Christ, which has many tongues from the Holy Spirit, is to serve the Lord for its settlement of these problems and also for the possible unity of the nations. The Japan Lutheran Church has 26 pastors, 35 congregations, and more than 2,500 members throughout Japan. The NRK is a full member of the International Lutheran Council and an associate member of the Lutheran World Foundation. A Sudanese Christian who gave birth in prison after being sentenced to hang for apostasy was freed on Monday, but immediately went into hiding, fearing for her life, a lawyer said. Official media confirmed that an appeal court annulled the earlier verdict against Miriam Yahya Ibrahim Ishag, 26. Her case sparked an outcry from Western governments and rights groups after a judge sentenced her to death on May the 15th. Almost 1 million people appealed to save her life on the change.org petition website. She is in a safe place. I will not tell you where, one of the lawyers, Mohamed Mustafa, told AFP. The main reason is that we are concerned about her life. Born to a Muslim father and an Ethiopian Orthodox Christian mother, Ishag was convicted under Islamic Sharia law that had been in force in Sudan since 1983 and outlaws conversions on pain of death. Her lawyers appealed the verdict. 12 days after the initial ruling, Ishag gave birth to a daughter at the women's prison in Khartoum's twin city of Omdurman. She had been shackled during pregnancy, Mustafa said. Mustafa said Daniel Wani, a US citizen, had been reunited with his wife, newborn baby, and the couple's 20-month-old son, who had been incarcerated with his mother. Now she is with her husband and their children in a safe place, said the lawyer. He and other members of Ishag's legal team have also received death threats. Mervyn Thomas, chief executive of Christian Solidarity Worldwide, CSW, said the group was delighted that the unjust, inhumane, and unwarranted sentences have been annulled. But he said the British-based group, which works for religious freedom, was appalled at the threats and hate speech. Her alleged brother has publicly stated the family would carry out the death sentence should the court acquit her, CSW said. Today's ruling is a small step to redressing the injustice done to Miriam, said Sarah Jackson, deputy director at Amnesty International. Muslim extremist groups had lobbied the Islamist government over Ishak's case, prominent newspaper editor Khalid Tagania said. A Sudanese church source, who last week expressed optimism that she'd be freed because of international pressure, said that Ishag's release was great news. Foreign pressure had nothing to do with her release, said a senior official in Sudan's ruling National Congress Party. The United States has welcomed the decision to free Ishag, but State Department spokesman Marie Harf urged Khartoum to repeal its draconian laws against religious conversion. Ishag was born in eastern Sudan's Gedaref state on November 3, 1987, but a Sudanese Muslim father abandoned the family when Ishag was 5, leaving her to be raised according to her mother's faith, an earlier statement from the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Khartoum said. She has never been a Muslim in her life, said the statement, which added she joined the Catholic Church shortly before she married her Khartoum-born husband in December 2011. The case against Ishag originated with a group of men who claimed to be Miriam's relatives, but who, in fact, she had never seen before, the Archdiocese said. The Ishag controversy was the latest problem facing Sudan, an impoverished nation battling rebellions in its west and south, while more than 6 million people need humanitarian aid. Human rights group Amnesty International condemned a Malaysian government ban on Christians using Allah to refer to God as an abuse against free speech. The Catholic Church in the Muslim-majority country on Monday lost a long-running court battle for the right to use the Arabic word in the local Malay language edition of its Herald newspaper. The government has said the top court's verdict pertains only to the paper, and Malay-speaking Christians can continue to use Allah in their worship. But lawyers have expressed fears that the ruling will set a precedent to curtail religious minorities' freedom amid what many see as a rise in Islamization. London-based Amnesty International said in a statement that the Allah ban should be scrapped. Malaysia's ban on Christians using the word Allah to refer to God is an abuse. The dispute over Allah began in 2007 when Malaysia's Home Ministry was threatened to revoke the Herald's publishing permit for using the word. The church launched a court case arguing that Allah had been used for centuries in Malay language Bibles and other literature. But authorities say this could confuse Muslims and entice them to convert, a crime in Malaysia. In a statement after the federal court verdict, which upheld a lower court's decision in favour of the ban, a government spokesman clarified that Christians can still use the word Allah in church. But Christians have expressed their deep disappointment, while church lawyers have said they will explore ways to further challenge the ban. A Malaysian Bar Council official said Christians' concerns were not without basis, even though, strictly speaking, the verdict applied only to the Herald. However, the impact of the decision goes beyond just the publication. It is also likely that the authorities will take further action to curtail the practice of other religions, she said. About two-thirds of Malaysia's 28 million people are Muslim, compared with around 2.6 million Christians. The multi-ethnic southeastern nation has largely avoided overt religious conflicts in recent decades, but tensions have been growing. In the course of the court case, several churches have been attacked, mostly with petrol bombs causing minor damage, along with some mosques and temples. Following the June 15 massacre of dozens of people in a Christian-majority coastal village, Kenya's religious leaders are urging the government to improve security in the country. An estimated 50 gunmen stormed the village of Mbeketoni, about 40 kilometres inland from the Indian Ocean, around 8 p.m. on June the 15th, overwhelming police forces. Initial reports counted 45 dead, although aid worker Wim van der Berg told Dutch media he counted more than 100 bodies. We acknowledge the anger and desperation of Kenyans arising from the spiralling insecurity and rising tension in the country, said the Most Reverend Zacharias Okoth, Archbishop of Kisumu and Chairman of the Catholic Justice and Peace Commission. Mbeketoni is an area of churches with about 100 different denominations, the Right Reverend Julius Kalu, the Anglican Bishop of Mombasa, told World Watch Monitor. The Inter-Religious Council of Kenya issued a statement asking the national government how Kenyans can continue to be killed in a wanton manner in their country by criminals. A £330,000 repair and rescue package for 21 UK churches and chapels has been announced by the National Churches Trust. Historic and community-minded places of worship in England, Wales and Scotland have been awarded the funding. They include Church of England, Church in Wales, the Church of Scotland and Roman Catholic churches, as well as a United Reformed Church, Methodist chapels and a building belonging to the Celestial Church of Christ. The funding includes £20,000 awarded to St Pancras Old Church, one of London's oldest churches and a site of Christian worship since the 4th century. The altar houses a 7th century altar stone and medieval fabric survives, although much of the visible church dates from 1848. The money will be used to fund repairs to stop the building being damaged by rainwater. Meanwhile, the United Reformed Church in Ottery St Mary in Devon received £10,000 to help fund urgent repairs to its roof, including re-slating. The 17th century building is used by a number of community groups, including Ottery Food Bank. Claire Walker, Chief Executive of the National Churches Trust, said, "Many of the churches and chapels we are helping in this funding round serve small rural communities. All too often, churches and chapels are the only community building left in a village. Keeping them open and in good repair is vital for local people to use them not only for worship, but also for social and welfare activities." St Peter's Church in Crickhowell, Powys, received £10,000. The church dates from the 11th century with a 14th century fortified tower. The money will help fund restoration of the stone-tiled roof and to repair stonework and pointing. Yet Old Church in the Scottish Borders secured £10,000 to install new toilets in the kitchen. Broadcaster Hugh Edwards, Vice President of the National Churches Trust, said National Churches Trust grants will help pay for urgent repairs to crumbling spires, leaking roofs and ancient drains, helping to bring some of the most beautiful and historic churches and chapels back to their full glory. National Churches Trust grants will also fund a range of products to install kitchens, toilets and improve access for the elderly and people with disabilities. This will help churches and chapels become welcoming community hubs that can better serve the needs of worshippers, community organisations and visitors. Pope Francis launched a scathing attack on organised crime during a trip to the heartland of a feared syndicate on Sunday, declaring all Mafia members excommunicated from the Catholic Church. The Mafia is the adoration of evil and contempt for common good. This evil must be beaten, expelled, he told worshippers near the hometown of a toddler killed in a clan war earlier this year. Those who in their lives follow this path of evil, as mafiosi do, are not in communion with God. They are excommunicated, he told the congregation. People who are excommunicated are expelled from the church unless they repent and are considered to be condemned to hell in the afterlife. The 77-year-old pontiff was speaking at the end of the trip to the territory controlled by the powerful Nangrahetti Mafia, where he comforted relatives of Coco Campolungo, a 3-year-old who was shot dead in January in an apparent mob hit over money. It must never happen again that the child suffers in this way, the Pope said, as he met Coco's father and grandmothers, according to a Vatican spokesman. Francis visited the Calabria region despite fears that he might provoke the local underworld. I pray for him continuously. Do not despair, Francis said during a visit to Castrovillari prison, where several members of Coco's family are serving time for drug-related crimes. He asked them to pass the message on to the toddler's mother, who was also in prison at the time of his murder and is now living under house arrest. Coco was shot in the head in January, executed along with his grandfather and his Moroccan companion after a drug debt went unpaid. The discovery of his body strapped to a car seat in a burnt-out Fiat Punto sent shockwaves through Italy, as did the murder just 2 months later of another 3-year-old in the nearby Puglia region. The Pope's trip to what is the second poorest region in the south of Italy aims not only to remember child victims, but also highlight the problems the young have in escaping the pervasive grip of the wealthy Cosa Nostra. Unemployment among the under-25s in the region stands at 56.1%, the highest in Italy in 2013, according to Eurostat, and local mobsters thrive by offering idle youngsters work, luring them into their networks. According to Save the Children Italy, more than a third of all the families in the impoverished south live in communities known to be under the control of clans. Many of the inmates the Pope met were serving time for mafia-related crimes. Under a blistering southern sun, Francis clasped the hands of some of the 200 prisoners, several of them weeping and throwing their arms around him. Francis made a short stop to pray at the spot in the nearby town of Sabari, where a priest was beaten to death in January with an iron bar in a failed extortion attempt. At the mass attended by more than 250,000 people at the close of day, he warned young people in the region that they must say no or risk being absorbed into the mafia world. Francis' determination to rattle the mafia has sparked warnings that he himself could become a target. The Mafia plays a leading role in the global cocaine trade, and its Calabria Bastion is a major transit point for drug shipments from Latin America to the rest of Europe. It has benefited in the past from historic ties to the church, with dons claiming to be God-fearing Catholics and priests turning a blind eye to crimes. But over the past 20 years, numerous priests have taken the part in the fight against the clans, sometimes paying for their bravery with their lives. And finally, the weird demands that were received by one online travel company, Opadoo, have been an airline upgrade from cargo to first class for a cat, and the best way of warding off vampires that are among the more bizarre requests made by travellers. One customer complained that the beach was not smooth enough, while another asked if he could take a plate of mother-made roast dinner as hand luggage on a flight. Other strange incidents have included the female customer who called about a holiday abroad as it was too hot, the food too spicy, and hardly anyone spoke English. The Brazil-bound holidaymaker who wanted to know if he could needed a passport for his python snake, which he wanted to take with him so he could reunite it with his family in the Amazon. a lovelorn traveller who thought he had booked a romantic trip for two to Rome in Italy, but instead landed in Rome, Georgia, USA, and called to demand help to get back his furious girlfriend who had dumped him for the mistake. A thrill seeker who had booked a trip to Universal Studios in Florida requested a refund for his trip as one of the rides, the Incredible Hulk roller coaster, had been too scary. A caller claimed to be the Queen, who asked for a free first-class trip to Australia and threatened a staff member with jail for treason if the request was refused. And a honeymooning couple asked for a full refund for their Maldives holiday as it had rained on one afternoon during their two-week trip and they'd been told it would be sunny day in, day out. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.